Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Coco Express Network. Talk radio that informs. Talk radio that inspires. Talk radio that enlightens. Talk radio for us all.
You had enough of me? No, there's so much more of me to come. Tonight, I am just so excited to be with you all. It seems like this month has been so great. It's been so good. I've had some amazing people on the show, and they just keep getting better and better and better each and every day. And there is like this underlying message, but I'm not going to share that with you right now. Right now, we're going to talk about tonight's guest. Tonight's guest is Audrey Egypt Young. She is the editor-in-chief of the Movement magazine. However, she also goes by the name of Egypt, and many of you may know her by that name. She's no novice to the entertainment industry. Her early career, she signed with A&M Records as a rap artist, writer, composer, and arranger. She is known and respected throughout the industry as a gifted lyricist with a work ethic that is contagious. She works with some of the most prolific talents. Her work history, stage performance, and collaborations look a little bit like this. Okay, this is impressive. Jay-Z, Whitney Houston, Bobby Brown, Wyclef Jean, Faith Evans, Monica, Usher, Wu-Tang Clan, Naughty by Nature, Aaron Neville, DMC of Run DMC, and the list goes on and on and still growing. But that's not where it ends. That's just part of what she does. She is a multifaceted woman who has a vision and who has the passion to make that vision come to light. So please allow me the opportunity to introduce and bring to you and reintroduce to you once again to some Egypt, Audrey Egypt Young, a.k.a. Egypt. Hello.
Hello, hello.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah,
hello?
Can you speak up? I can't really hear you.
Okay, hold on. You know what? Hello, can you hear me clear now?
Yes, I can.
All right. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm happy you're here.
I'm excited to be here.
Good.
Hi to your listeners. Hello, everybody.
And I know they're shouting out, going, hey.
That's what's up.
So, now, Egypt, I remember you from the radio.
Okay.
WBLS?
Well, No, there's another Egypt as well. That's Egypt Sherrod that was on.
Oh, that's Egypt Sherrod?
Right. See, the only thing I did for BLS was I did a promo for Wendy Williams, and she ran the promo for like a year straight. I did like a promo for her radio show. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Because I used to listen to that show. Well, you could not listen to Wendy.
Yes.
You could not listen to her back then. I mean, she kept you on cue with everything going on, even her own stuff.
She's a mess. My girl, though.
Yes. Now, you have such an extensive resume. I mean, it's amazing. How did you get started in the industry first, and then we'll go into what you're currently working on?
Well, actually, I started as a rap artist, and just like I got my name back in 1989 to 90, a lot of people always said that I had like an Egyptian look. So my manager was like, yeah, people think she's Egyptian. And then that name, Egypt, just stuck on me from 1989 till now. Because that's not my real name is Audrey, but my stage name was Egypt. I also was signed to A&M with this group called Ross CeeLo. We had this song called Cutie. And it was played on we did the video in the whole nine, and it was played on BET. It was on Billboard magazine. I mean, we did really well with it. We toured a lot of places with, like, you know, Aaron Neville and Faith Evans and Monica. We toured a lot of people. I mean, it was a really great ride. That was back in, like, 94, 95.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, and I started there.
Okay, you
so I didn't
started
get signed
there.
To Whitney and Whitney's label until 98, 99.
Okay. Now, when you, what was it like being in the industry and, you know, starting out as a rap artist? When you started out as a rap artist, did you have desire or designs to do more and be more at that time?
Well, actually, at the time, I was just consumed with being a rapper, because it was very overwhelming, because it was like I was thrusted into the limelight, like, and I was, you know, because I was already, like, ambitious. I was a cheerleader, I was on track team, stuff like that, so I was always in front of either the camera or in front of audiences all the time, so that was something that came natural to me. But as I became a rap artist and being in this male-dominated industry, it was kind of, I can't say it was bittersweet, because it was a thing where if you weren't a part of a clique, or if you weren't, like, actually, excuse my language, but having, like, sex with certain people or whatever, a lot of times you would only could go so far, regardless of how good your talents were.
Mm-hmm.
And I came across a lot of that as well, you know what I mean? And I never, mm-hmm. you know, comprised my morals to, you know, speak to any levels of any disrespectful producer or whatever, but I have, you know, ran across stuff like that. But it was a very interesting time, and it was exciting. But I also had a young child, because I had my son in 1989, and my
okay.
son was, and I was doing a lot of touring, so it was kind of hard being a young mom trying to do a lot of this touring and doing all that stuff. So, you know, it was interesting.
Okay, yeah, it must have been interesting, and besides having a young child, my daughter was born in 89 as well, so I...
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah.
It was a very good year.
Yeah.
So you were in a male-dominated industry, which we know
mm-hmm.
that the rap industry was, and they were... not, how can I put it? Well, you know what? I'm just going to be honest. They were very sexist
right,
in the industry.
Right, right, right.
Period.
Absolutely.
They were sexist. And it was just, that's just what it was, and that's the reality of it. And being a woman, it was twice as hard, maybe three times as hard for you to try to make a name for yourself and maintain your credibility while in the industry
absolutely.
At that time.
Yeah, exactly.
So
exactly
now...
Right.
So being there and doing that and being thrust into the limelight and having to raise a young child, how did that affect you as a person? How did, you know, did it create stress? Did it make it more difficult for you to do this? Or did it
give you the
grounding? Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, it did create stress, because at the time I was married as well. You know, I was young. I got married very young. I was me, my mother, my brother, and my sister had a triple wedding back in 1989. So I was married, a young, you know, in a young relationship at the same time. So it was extremely stressful, because my husband didn't understand my drive, and he didn't like the fact that, you know, I didn't have a problem with working, but it's still pursuing my goals. He thought there was a problem with that. So it was very stressful on my relationship, not just as a wife, but just as a partner and as a friend. We were going through it during that time. So
Okay. It
was very tumultuous. Yeah, it was very hard for me. I can't lie about that. It was very hard.
Okay, that's interesting. Are you still married now?
Well, not. We divorced years later. We divorced like in like 97 or 98, something like that.
Okay. Yeah, because I know that they say when you're in the industry, relationships do suffer a great deal. So
especially if you're with somebody that don't understand what you're doing. Yeah. And he had no inkling or no clue. Not only that, he was kind of jealous. So, because I was doing, I still remember a story when I was doing a show at in East Orange. I forget the name of the club, but Nice and Smooth, the rap group, was there. and I was opening up for DMC's wife. Or no, I was opening up. DMC's wife was opening up for me at Club Scandals. That's the name of the club in East Orange. And my husband came in, and the bodyguard, he said that I was his wife. I mean, I was his husband. He was my husband, and they didn't believe him. And Nice and Smooth, one of the heavyset one, Greg Knight, was, you know, trying to talk to me or whatever, and I kept on telling him, you know, I'm not, you know, interested or whatever. So he kind of was like, well, F you B, and kind of cursed at me a little bit because I didn't want to talk back to him, because he's used to, you know, women throwing themselves at him, you know what I mean, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he got into it with my husband, because at the same time when he said that, my husband was coming to the door, and he heard him, and they were like, they were fighting all back stuff, and they ended up putting my husband out. And it was just crazy. Like, I just couldn't. The scene was just out of control. It was completely out of control.
Wow, wow, wow. Yeah, I can see the stress.
Yeah, it was really hard for me to invite my husband to events because it was always a problem for whatever reason.
Okay, so when you stopped rapping, or did you stop? You still, or did you stop? And when you stopped, what did you do?
Well, actually, that was during, before I even got signed to A&M, but then when I got signed to Whitney Houston's label, Landlord Records, that was in 1989. I was in an all male group, and I was the only female. It was New Anonymous Click, and everything on that situation, it was going really well. I mean, we had got dropped bombs by Funkmaster Flex on Hot 97. The song was doing really well. It was called "Feeling to Get It On," and then like maybe within before the actual single dropped. At the time, I was engaged to the main rapper. His name was Slang Tun, and he was also in a group called The Outsiders, which Rod Digger was on the group. Eminem was in the group. There was a lot of different celebrities that was out. There was in another group with him, but he had gotten shot and died in September. Then at around that same time, one of the other members of the, it was a 5-member group. Slang got killed. He had gotten shot. Then Majid went to jail for something he did like 5 years prior. Then As Is went on tour with Eminem and The Outsiders, so it only left me and Omega, and we could not hold down that 5-man group with just us two, because the single had all these different people on it. So that's what made that actual situation demise, because I don't know, I just didn't have the fight to, you know, to rap anymore after Slang got killed. I was kind of discouraged with the whole scene and everything. So, because he got killed, leaving out of the studio, as a matter of fact.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was just a really heartening thing, you know, to think about, you know, because it kind of killed my whole wanting to rap anymore. I didn't really want to rap anymore after that.
Okay. I can understand that. So what did you do after that?
Well, I actually, I stopped rapping for a while, and then my manager, Zaki Abdul, he convinced me to get back in the studio and start doing some solo things, and that's when I had met my second husband, and we did a couple of songs together, and he was a reggae artist, and then I did some of the promo shots for Wendy Williams for her radio show. And then I did it for a little while, but it didn't go where I wanted it to go. So I kind of, after that, I stopped rapping after that.
Okay.
And that was like, well, in the 2000, maybe 2001 or 2002 is when I kind of stopped.
Okay, so you had a good run. You had a good run.
Yeah, for a little bit.
So then, because I always like to try to find out, what did you do to get yourself to a point where you felt like doing something? And what was that something you decided you were going to do when you did get up to?
Okay, once after you feel the adrenaline of somebody knowing your lyrics and singing your song with you and having and being on tour with all these different celebrities you see on TV and having so much fun and all that, it's really hard to kind of shun away from that completely. So I kind of started looking into myself and seeing how can I be a part of the entertainment industry but not necessarily have to be in front of the camera. So that's when I started getting into, because I started with actually doing some producing of some films that friends of mine that were doing, And I got into film initially first and then got into the magazine game because it was like a thing where I wanted my voice to be heard, but I couldn't just walk up in Ebony or Essence magazine and say, okay, I want to be the editor. It don't work like that. You know what I'm saying? You got to earn your way and earn your stripes and everything. So I kind of wanted to create my own lane, and I basically just, you know, started teaching myself how to, you know, do layouts and teach myself how to do different things so that I could create some stuff, and it just snowballed. And I already knew a lot of the artists, so it was easy to get the interviews. You know what I mean? So it just worked. It worked.
Okay. Now, what is the inspiration behind the Movement magazine?
Well, actually, even before I had the Movement magazine, me and one of my business partners, Adrian Lynette Harris, we did a online magazine called The Queen Team, because me and her had called ourselves The Queen Team because we did a local radio show and we were on the radio. It was like one of those local type radio stations, not like Hot 97 or anything, but it was a local radio station. And we initially started doing that, and then we incorporated it into a magazine style radio show, which was What Women Want Primetime. And we did that first initially. And then she had to go to Florida and take care of her mom. So that's when I had to, you know, had to do my own thing. So that's when I just spent it off with my another partner. His name was Rasu, and we created the Movement magazine because we wanted to address different movements across the country at the same time while we're covering red carpets and we're covering, you know, different events that's going on across the around the world. So a lot of times when you bring on like a celebrity, it'll get their eye, but the content that you're talking about, you can hit them with that after they see what the celebrity's talking about. You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of where it actually started from. We wanted to be the voice for the voiceless, basically.
Okay, that's excellent. Excellent. Yeah, because I like the concept that you get the celebrity, so that way you get the attention, and then the content is where you really get your reader. Because they'll be informed and enlightened by someone that they feel that they're familiar with.
But not only that, we also created opportunities for, like, new up-and-coming people at the same time. Like, so we get an interview with, like, a Tyreek Gibson.
Mm-hmm.
We will also bring in, like, new artists that probably wouldn't get that same recognition on alongside somebody as big as Tyreek and give them the opportunity to, you know, to be featured. So a lot of times it helps to propel people's careers. It has helped a lot of different individuals, not just singers and rappers, but like entertainers, like actual artists. We have this new girl, it's a bone artist. She creates pictures out of bone.
Oh.
And I mean, that's going to be the next issue. And she is incredible. I can't wait for you to see that issue too, because she's very, very talented artist, this young lady. So, I mean, it's just a lot of things that we feature and we promote. It's not just the actual artist that's completely out there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's good. You have the up-and-comings, and you have the little-known facts folks.
Right.
Interesting. That's really great. And it's an online magazine, and it's also a paper magazine as well, correct?
Right. Well, actually, we no longer do paperback. We are actually all online now because the overhead was a bit much after a while, and then like a lot of the magazines like Jet and a lot of other magazines are just strictly online now. So that's basically where we're geared towards, just completely online. But you can order a book, a magazine, but it's just it costs a little bit more because we're not, you know, ordering the whole the big amount like we used to. So if you buy one individual one, it would be definitely more than the $5 that we would normally sell it for.
Okay, because you have to actually print it.
Right.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense. I think I've seen, you know, how the creation of some of the online magazines are. That's a really complex, complicated routine. I mean, wow. I mean, you taught yourself how to do this.
Yeah, because it also, mine also incorporates videos into the magazine itself. Like, it's kind of interactive where certain pages, if it highlights, you can click it, and it'll automatically take you to a video for whatever the issue is about or being featured.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, the Prince issue we just did, we did an exclusive Prince issue of everything was completely about Prince. And a lot, like out of the 120 some odd pages, at least 90 of those pages have videos connected to the pages. Meaning you can see him in interviews, you can see new videos you probably never seen before, things where he's just acting silly or different stuff. You know what I'm saying? So it's very mm-hmm. interactive for the magazine lover as well as like a print lover. They would absolutely love this new issue we just did for print. It's incredible. Okay.
I think we have someone on the line who wants to ask you a question. So let's see if this person has something to say. Hold on.
Okay.
Hello, would you like to ask Egypt a question? Hello? Okay.
Hello?
Yeah, hello? So I guess they're just listening because it looked like they had to ask a question. But that's okay because I'm really, really, really getting into this whole concept of the online magazine. And it's so interesting. Now, where do you take this? I mean, you have a film company or something like that also, which enables you to be able to do this kind of videography included in your magazine?
Well, actually, the film company is called Young Royalty Enterprises, and we basically shoot all of the interviews for the Movement Remix. The Movement Remix is basically the online portion of the magazine. And now we just got into shooting like different content for network television. And I'm extremely excited about that because that's what I write a lot and, different things for content for different stories for different shows. And so now I just partnered with five other individuals that, they're the best at what they do. And we all have collaborated together. Now we're about to create this new show. And I don't want to throw it out there just yet. With our fingers crossed, we're actually going to get picked up with network television. But I'm super, super excited about it. And we are called The Collective, as a collective of six of us. And I'm just really excited about what God has in store for us as far as that's concerned. I'm really excited about that.
Oh, excellent. Now, my question to you is, you have a team. What does your team comprise of? What is your, who do you have working for you and how many people? Because I'm trying to let people get an idea of how you make this work for you.
The team that we just came together as a team, as a matter of fact. My film company was just the people that I hire as far as like that shoot for me, but I'm the one that normally just write everything and direct and everything. But what we're doing as the collective, the company collective, which is myself, we have Pastor Amir. He's also a chef, a celebrity chef. We have Binky. He did Brick City, the movie. He was one of the producers on Brick City, the movie. We also have, Samantha Boyd. She's an up-and-coming writer as well. We have Quincy Q. He is a Grammy Award-winning producer. We also have Sam. He has a management company. So, like, all of us together, we created the company called The Collective, and we're putting together content for network television as we speak. And I'm really excited about where we're going with it.
Oh, wow. That's excellent. Now, okay, you have, what other projects are you working on now? Are you spinning off any more magazines or anything in that arena, or are you moving towards other things?
You know, it's so funny that you said that because we're putting together a comedy magazine, as a matter of fact, for Bob Sumner. And Bob Sumner, he creates a lot of content for comedians across the country. He's on Aspire with his what's the name of his show? Oh my God, he'll kill me. I can't think of the name of it off the top of my head. Please forgive me.
That's okay.
I think it's We Got Next or Who Got Next or something to that effect. That it's this television show that's on Maggie Johnson's network Aspire, and it's incredible as well. So we're gonna do a spinoff magazine for that. I mean, I have a lot of things that's on the table, but a lot of times I don't want to speak on them until they're actually black and white and they're manifesting themselves, because a lot of times negative energy. I'm not saying that you're the negative energy. I would never say that, but I just don't put it out there until it's concrete most of the time. So it just works for me.
And I understand, and I agree with you on that one as well.
Yeah.
You just have to keep it on the cuff until it's time. And that's
important.
But I am
important. A believer of speaking things into existence. So I absolutely am. And I'm just thankful to God at the end of the day, you know, the things that he's putting in my path, because and I'm just being obedient right now. So at the same time, I'm excited about everything. I'm excited about having this interview with you, actually, because I don't normally talking about myself. I'm not going to be honest with you.
Well, I'm enjoying it, and I'm learning so much. As you can see, I'm asking all these questions because I'm understanding. Well, I'm trying to understand and visualize, and I'm learning at the same time, because I think the whole concept of an online magazine with video content in it, I think that is just so amazing, because
absolutely,
I always thought that that would be the best way to bring a magazine to life, because when you have the paper magazine, you're flipping pages.
Yeah.
But it's nice when you can just click on something and the magazine comes to life. So that's hot.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But you know what differentiates us from the actual regular magazine is that, like, for example, we have a different line of questioning. Like, for example, when we interview, like, a T.I. or a Tyree, we don't normally ask the questions that normal people would ask, like, oh, when's your album coming out? When's your movie? We're not really interested in that. We want to know what are they interested in philanthropy, or how are they helping out their community? What are they doing to, you know what I'm saying, to help, you know, an individual that's up and coming? We want to know the grassroots things, like, underneath the surface of what it is that they're doing within them, their lives and their purpose. Like, are they really walking in their purpose? And those are the things that we want to know about. And at the end of the day, of course, if they want to promote what they're doing, we have no problem with promoting that as well. But that's not the catalyst for what we're interviewing them for. We absolutely want to understand what it is that's making them tick, as opposed to when is their album coming out. That's everybody asks that question.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting because we try to do the same here on the show. We want people to get to know who you are, and we're going to ask the questions that the average person would like to know, not someone who's got pre-rehearsed information in front of them, the standard questions. Because when you're supporting an artist, and you want to know really why.
Right.
Why?
I hate to. And this is why I can definitely tell that you're right about that, because you're stumping me with some of the questions. That's why I'm like, oh, my God, I don't know the answer right now. So, yes, you're showing proof that that's what you do.
Now, where can people find the magazine? Okay, I need for you to tell the listeners exactly where they can find this magazine.
Okay, they can log on to www.themovementmagazine.net. And all of the magazines there are free. You can just click onto them, and it'll automatically open up. You can read them right there. It's free to all of the viewers.
Really?
Yeah. And it has abundance of information in those magazines. Like, I mean, when you go through them, I mean, we're going to actually start creating different incentives that we're going to incorporate in the magazine, where they can get, like, different coupons for different things or different free things. We're going to also start that, but that won't start until the summer. So I'm really excited about the direction that the magazine is taking right now.
Okay, great. Now, okay, they can find you there. Where else can they find you if they wanted to reach out to you, to connect with you, to either, you know, have someone, have you consider someone for the magazine, or just find out more about, you know, content or give you information?
Okay, well, you can email us at NJ, like New Jersey, NJ, the Movement Magazine at gmail.com. They also can hit me up on Instagram at Egypt Young. They can also find me on Facebook at Audrey.Egypt.Young, or on Facebook at The Movement Magazine. You can also find me on Twitter, NJ The Movement. I'm on everything. I'm trying to think of them all off the top of my head. We're also on, oh my goodness, I should know this stuff by now, but
don't apologize. You don't have to apologize.
Okay.
You know, it's difficult to remember everything because you got your hands in so many things. So,
oh my
I mean,
God,
you've given us a wealth of information here. And there's one question that I really, really, really would like to ask. And okay. It is, if you have any words of wisdom to give to young up-and-coming, and not even young, but up-and-coming who are interested in doing something, what words of inspiration and wisdom would you give them?
Well, my words of encouragement would be to, if you're serious about what you're trying to do, I would encourage you to be very persistent. Don't take no for an answer. You have to basically research the field that you're trying to be in, study it, understand it, so that you can be ahead of the game when other people, you know, as far as what other people are doing, you can look at what other people are doing and make a collective effort to make it better than what they are doing. And just absolutely do not give up, because a lot of times once a person get a no, they tend to, you know, get complacent, get scared, and just don't, you know, follow through with it. No. At the end of the day, somebody's going to say yes, but you got to be persistent. You know what I mean? I believe in that. You know what I mean? You can actually create your own life, because I have done that.
Mm-hmm.
And now, I'm from the projects. So, yeah.
It's just a place you live. It's not in you. It was just a place you live.
Yeah, that's true. But a lot of people feel as though you're from projects. They don't expect you to do well or do good or do anything positive. So at the end of the day, I proved that to be wrong. So,
you sure did. Now, the other thing, and I want to piggyback on your statement. I know that you did not get to where you are by being complacent, that you are constantly educating yourself and learning the new technologies that are out. So is that an important component into staying relevant, is to always keep yourself educated on the things that are going on, especially in an industry you're interested in?
Well, that is absolutely important. And it's funny, I'm almost 50 years old, and I'm still going. I'm in school right now, online, though, but I'm still learning all the new techniques, because you have to keep up with what's going on. And you just can't assume that you're going to just know about, like, for example, a new technology that happens. If this is going on, and if you're not involved in it and understanding what's going on with it, you're going to be left in the dust. So I'm trying to create, understand, like, what's all the new things that's coming out, and I'm always wanting to learn. So absolutely, and knowledge is a complete power. I truly believe in that 100%, that you have to be knowledgeable of things. Even if you're reading books on your own, you still are learning. You need to continue to learn. Learning is never too, you're never too old to learn, period.
Okay. All right. You know, I really would like to be able to have you back on the show again, because I really think that you have such an amazing story to tell. And it is something that I think young girls, especially young girls, they need to know who you are. They need to know you, and they need to see what you're doing and how you're doing it, because this is so important, so that they can know that there are options. There are other ways to become successful, and it doesn't have to do with being with someone or in a particular type of environment. And you're showing that you are self-made, and this is important. We all need to see this in action, a self-made person, a self-made woman in action, and how she looks.
Wow. You know, it's funny that you said that, because I just recently got 2 awards at 2 different events. And it was pertaining to young entrepreneurial women. One of them was called the Kittypreneur, where the young lady from The Housewives had presented me with an award for being an entrepreneur. And if you were seeing the young, maybe 10-year-old, 12-year-old entrepreneurs that was there, that was being honored, I was so inspired by them and their drive and their tenacity. They were like, I mean, some of these little kids were like inspirational speakers at 10. When I was 10, I was running around. I didn't have the girls were like, they were incredible. I was extremely inspired by these young kids. And I also was being honored over at the Girls Live, Laugh, and Love by Allison Frizon. She has a company that teaches young girls etiquette and different things like that. And she awarded me on this award called the Women Who Clap, myself and Assemblywoman Angela from Jersey City and Congresswoman Gail Cheney-Phil. We all were honorees. And it was like a room full of young ladies. They had their little beautiful gowns on. They were soaking up everything that was going on, and I was so inspired, and I was so blessed to be in that room. So for you to bring that up, that's exactly, and this has just happened over the weekend. So I'm real excited about that. Like, I'm helping mentor these young girls. So I'm real excited in doing that as well. So yeah, I will definitely come back on your show without a doubt.
Okay, great, because I'm going to try to see if I can get some young girls to come on and talk to you, because it's so important to me that our young girls have options. I've seen so many things go so terribly wrong, and I think it would be different if they knew that they had options. I just believe that wholeheartedly.
Absolutely. I agree.
Yes. So I hate to have to go, but our time is up. But I have to tell you, I had a wonderful time with you, and I thank you so much for taking the time to be with us. We greatly appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me on your show, and I thoroughly enjoyed myself talking with you.
Good.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Okay, and I always give my listeners this last little spiel, last minute and everything, and I always use my guests as an example, because what we try to do is we try to show people that they should follow their dreams and their goals and not try to follow somebody else's, because the journey that is plotted for them is not the journey for someone else. And part of that journey is to take care of yourself and, you know, believe that you are doing what you need to do, and always, 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 always thank your Father from above, because had it not been for him, there would be no you. And you don't get places by yourself. You always have help. And even if you don't know who the help is, just always say thank you, because the universe hears your thank you and they reward you with even more.
Yes, and God. Yes. I received that. Yes.
So that's the word for tonight to each and every one of you. And I would like to make sure that each and every one of you know that you are a blessing to this universe. You're a blessing to this planet. So do all that you can to make yourself happy, and let yourself be happy first so that you can bless others with that happiness. Be well, have a good night, and thank you.
God bless you. Take care.
Thank you. Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.